Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 9th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Daily coronavirus infections in the U.S. hit a fresh high.
Cases in California hit a record while Texas reports its highest deaths yet.
Calls for a national mask mandate gather steam from Chicago to Miami.
And the White House starts a push to reopen schools across the country.
Governor Cuomo says he will make a decision next month on reopening schools. Plus, the Supreme Court rules today about President Trump's taxes. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets have added an NBA veteran, and the Ivy League is the first college conference to cancel all sports in the fall.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
And U.S. futures, they're mixed, with S&P futures moving lower. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 3 points. Dow futures down 67, and NASDAQ futures higher, up 44. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 20 cents at $40.69 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%. Under $2.10 at $18.22.80 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, coronavirus infections in the U.S. have hit another daily record. California is reporting a new high in cases as Governor Gavin Newsom walks a fine line between alarm and reassurance. Here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Newsom on one hand talks about the dramatic increase in the number of cases, but then says the state is well prepared and we will get through this.
We will. There's no question in my mind about that. The question is when, and that determines basis on the determination of how we conduct ourselves, how we behave.
And this, as the state reports, the biggest daily jump since the pandemic began. As alarming, though, is the 14-day positivity rate climbing to 7.1% from 6.8%. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. In Florida, Miami-Dade County reports its highest level of hospitalization since April. The mayor of Miami is calling for a national mandate on masks ahead of President Trump's visit to the state tomorrow. Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini reports.
Mayor Francis Suarez calls wearing a mask a low-cost, high-yield way to deal with COVID-19.
It doesn't damage anyone's business, and it could significantly improve, you know, the circumstances. It's a no-brainer.
Suarez, who is a Republican, says we can't just keep shutting down and reopening the economy, and he wants a long-term strategy. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Denise. Suarez isn't alone in pushing for a national mandate on masks. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says it might be the most important measure to save lives.
We need a national masking mandate. We instituted ours in Illinois on May 1st, one of the first in the nation, and it aligns with our most significant downward shifts in our infection rate.
In testimony to the House Homeland Security Committee, Governor Pritzker called for a stronger national response to the pandemic.
Meantime, in Texas, we're seeing a second straight day of record deaths from the virus, and that has Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner canceling the state's Republican convention.
This convention is not moving forward. And it's because of the public health risk that it poses.
Houston's mayor is also pushing back against proposals to reopen schools in August, saying it's premature for those discussions.
Well, the Trump administration is pushing for classes to reopen nationwide.
We hope every school in America is able to open this fall.
Vice President Mike Pence was joined by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos at a coronavirus task force briefing focused on restarting face-to-face education.
Ultimately, it's not a matter of if schools should reopen. It's simply a matter of how. They must fully open, and they must be fully operational.
The push sets up a potential fight between federal and local authorities, some of whom are planning only part-time in-person classes this fall.
Meantime, a top health official in Tulsa, Oklahoma, says President Trump's campaign rally in the city likely contributed to a spike in cases. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. John, good morning.
And Karen, Tulsa County accounts for about a quarter of Oklahoma's nearly 18,000 infections. Daily cases just eclipse the county's one-week average. And the Tulsa Health Director, Bruce Dart, says events in the past few weeks likely contributed to that. He's referring to the June 20th rally with an estimated 6,200 people gathered indoors, often without masks. The crowd estimate from Tulsa's fire department would make it the largest indoor U.S. event since March. The president plans to hold another rally Saturday inside an airplane hangar in New Hampshire. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. There are more than 120 coronavirus vaccines currently in the works, but the timeline for most remains cloudy. Merck is among the companies working on a shot. CEO Ken Frazier sat down for a conversation with David Rubenstein on Leadership Live, heard weekly on Bloomberg TV. He cautions against hopes for a vaccine in the coming months.
The fastest vaccine ever developed was our mumps vaccine, and that took 4 years. So now we know that the urgency of the situation is going to cause us to try to move quickly, but never, ever at the expense of safety.
With so many shots in the works, experts say we could end up with several vaccines. The most optimistic estimates call for the first to be ready in 6 months.
Coming up today, we get the latest reading on the economic fallout from the virus. Economists predict another 1.3 million Americans filed unemployment claims last week. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
Jobless claims have been running above 1 million since mid-March, peaking at 6.9 million at the end of that month. Bloomberg Economics says new virus cases pose a threat to the fragile recovery in the labor market and is warning of new job cuts in services such as leisure and hospitality. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. Jobless claims in New Jersey are running above 1 million, with 30% of the state's workforce filing claims since March. Later today, we discuss the slump and New Jersey's response to the pandemic with Governor Phil Murphy. Tune in for that conversation at 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
S&P futures down a point. Dow futures down 47. NASDAQ futures up 47. The British pound at 1.2656 against the dollar. The euro 1.1332. And the yen is at 107.30. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the decision on whether schools will reopen for in-person learning in September will be made by the state during the first week of August. Cuomo said the federal government has no authority on school reopenings. He made his comments in response to President Donald Trump calling for schools to reopen. Meanwhile, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said the city's 1.1 million students will have a blended learning schedule in order to maintain fewer students in a school building at any given time.
Here's the deal. For the vast majority of kids in the vast majority of schools, you'll be going to school, to the classroom, either 2 days a week or 3 days a week, depending on the week.
De Blasio says the other day's students will be taught remotely. Connecticut's governor says they plan on reopening schools on time. Governor Ned Lamont spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin.
Because we have an infection rate less than 1%, because we're meeting all the metrics, we are planning to open our schools on time in late August, September, a normal school day, so there's not a lot of back and forth, some days on, some days off. I think that's better for the kids and certainly for the employers in getting our economy going again. They'd like to know what the work schedule is of the people who are working for them.
New Jersey's Motor Vehicles Agency was overwhelmed for the second straight day after reopening Tuesday. It will extend its hours, but Governor Phil Murphy warned that long lines will continue for a bit. The agency's offices, closed since March 15th, were swamped by customers seeking driver's licenses, the tests, automobile registrations, and renewals. The Supreme Court is expected to rule on whether Congress and the Manhattan District Attorney can see President Donald Trump's taxes and other financial records that the president has fought hard to keep private. The case, which could be resolved today, tests the balance of power between the White House and Congress, as well as Trump's claim that he can be investigated while he holds office. 2 days after a judge ordered the controversial Dakota Access oil pipeline to shut by early August, Its owner, Energy Transfer, is vowing to schedule shipments and has made no moves to take it offline. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. The Ivy League has led the way once again. It was the Ancient Eight that was the first to cancel games. The Ivy scrapped its postseason basketball tournaments back on March 10th, the day before the NBA stopped play, and soon after everyone did. Now the Ivy is the first to cancel fall sports, including football. Players will be allowed to practice. No word on whether games will instead be played in the spring. Last night in Orlando, the return of Major League Soccer, and before the first game, over 100 African-American players took a knee and raised their fists. NYCFC plays tonight against Philadelphia. The depleted Nets are headed to Orlando for the NBA restart. Four Nets aren't playing, so Brooklyn in need of bodies has signed 40-year-old Jamal Crawford, who's played for 18 in his 19-year career. A new coach for the Devils, Lindy Ruff, currently an assistant with the Rangers. He coached Buffalo and Dallas for over 20 years. An update on Mets summer camp from new manager Luis Rojas.
Once we go through screening, we go through the distancing on, you know, fulfill protocols that we've been doing here, I think we get on the field and we have fun. And, you know, so that challenge over, you know, seeing it, anticipating it from the beginning, I think it's actually going really well.
At Angels camp, two-way player Shohei Ohtani, who hasn't pitched in 2 years, took the mound and had eight walks. Novak Djokovic has recovered from having coronavirus. He says he's unsure if he'll play the U.S. Open in New York in early September. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, another company is cutting Washington Redskins merchandise from its site. Amazon now joins Walmart, Target, and Nike in casting out a team name that contains a racial slur. According to a letter reviewed by Bloomberg, the e-commerce giant told sellers they had 48 hours to review and remove Redskins products. Activists have lobbied for years for the Washington football team to change its name. Its owner, Dan Snyder, said last week that it's under review. S&P futures lower by a point and a half. Dow futures down 49 points. NASDAQ futures a gain of almost 47 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And S&P futures are now little change this morning. Dow futures down 42 and NASDAQ futures up 49. This ahead of some U.S. jobs data that will offer some key insights into the recovery of the world's biggest economy amid rising coronavirus infection rates. The DAX in Germany is higher, up 1.3%. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 12 cents at $40.78 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.80 at $18.23.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1329 against the dollar, British pound 1.2654, and the yen 107.30. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the nation has reached a grim milestone. The number of COVID-19 infections in the country has reached more than 3 million cases. More than 60,000 positive diagnoses were confirmed yesterday alone. The Supreme Court is expected to rule on whether Congress and the Manhattan District Attorney can see President Trump's taxes and other financial records that the president has fought hard to keep private. Presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden will call for a moderate approach toward reviving the U.S. economy if elected president. Biden will deliver his economic speech today in Pennsylvania. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we await the latest read on where we are in the current economic recovery, we welcome in Lee Farage, head of macro strategy at State Street. Good to have you with us this morning as we await those always hotly anticipated weekly jobless claims figures. The median estimate is another 1.3 million filings last week. What could that mean? What will the weekly jobless claims mean for the recovery going forward, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think, and thank you for having me. I mean, I think a lot of people are now looking back at the jobless claims, you know, after 2 months of very good payrolls numbers. The key here is, what do the renewed sort of round of lockdowns, pauses in reopenings, mean for the data going forward? I mean, I think there's a very real risk that the data for July, when we get it, disappoints. So jobless claims is going to be a good indicator of that. I say payrolls itself was beaten for the last 2 months, but that was sort of the best it got in terms of the virus in the U.S. And certainly the reference week for the June payrolls was right at the bottom of the daily virus numbers before it started to accelerate. So jobless claims, I think, we're disappointed last week, largely overlooked because it came out at the same time as the payrolls. But this week's going to be watched much more closely, I think.
Do you think it's going to put more pressure on lawmakers to pass further fiscal stimulus?
Well, the pressure should be there already, quite honestly. I mean, I think what's happened is, with the better-than-expected data, the payrolls I mentioned, ISM data, retail sales, it seems to be some of the emphasis, some of the pressure on them to pass the further fiscal stimulus seems to have been eased. That is a mistake. Much of the CARES Act, it runs out at the end of July. The $600 extra unemployment insurance runs out. You know, the PPP, the loans to businesses, can be converted in the next few weeks. And all of this means those temporary measures put in place by the CARES Act that were so important to limit the economic impact on the consumer and on small businesses, they expire. So without a new one, we face this fiscal cliff. And I think, regardless of what the data is saying, the lawmakers need to look at that and say, we need to do more. We need to tide the economy over even further.
Are you seeing in any high-frequency data evidence of an impact on some of the rollbacks that we've already started to see in some of the coronavirus hotspots like Texas and Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing it in if you look at OpenTable, they have some very good daily data on dining in restaurants, and those have definitely really over the last 3 weeks, that's really started to come back down across all of the southern states, as you say, but in Texas, Florida, California as well, and others. And the U.S. as a whole, if you look at the weekly change in that, that's turned negative again. Having got to sort of minus 60% year on year, it's now started declining again. Also, home-based data, which shows business openings, hours worked for weekly workers, that's rolled over the last few weeks as well. So certainly in the high-frequency data, you're seeing the impact of these rollbacks. And it's not just that, don't forget. Even if we don't go back into lockdown, even if governors, et cetera, don't actually put in place rollbacks, people will vote with their feet. If they're nervous, if cases are rising around them, they'll stay in more than they would have done. They won't go to that restaurant. They won't go and socialize perhaps as they would if the numbers were falling. They'll vote on their own without actually being told to go to lockdown, and that in itself can roll back the recovery anyway.
Could that lead to the possibility that we see another return of haven demand for the dollar?
It's possible. I mean, certainly against the high beta currencies in EM, I do worry about sort of the high beta currencies in EM. I think what's trickier is against the euro and the yen. There, I think the dollar's entering into more of a medium-term downtrend. Now, that's not to say if we don't get some big risk-off events, you won't see that rush into the dollar. You will. But I think it's going to be limited against the euro and the yen. I think that, you know, the interest rate support for the dollar is gone. What's becoming clear is the U.S. is behind Europe when it comes to tackling the virus. So that should mean that Europe's economy gets on a stronger footing before the U.S., and that's not reflected in consensus growth forecasts yet. So you combine that with Europe's current account surplus, the U.S. deficit, the lack of interest rate support now. All of that points to a medium-term uptrend in euro-dollar for me. But if you look against the dollar against EM or against high beta, against Aussie, Kiwi, CAD, there I still think the dollar safe haven element will serve it in good stead. I think that, you know, Q3 is going to be very tricky for markets, given where we are in terms of valuations, given what's happening with the virus, given the fiscal issues that you mentioned as well. And given the impending election, you know, that's going to get ever closer as the weeks go on. It's Q3 is going to be very, very tricky for investors, and that actually could help the dollar against those high beta currencies, even if the U.S. is the sort of epicenter of it.
Yeah, certainly a lot of uncertainties ahead. Thanks for offering some clarity for us this morning, Lee. Good having you with us. Lee Farage, head of macro at State Street. Before we get those weekly jobless claims figures in just about 2 hours, futures are mixed. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 46. S&P, or NASDAQ futures should say, higher by 48 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. 6:25 on Wall Street Now. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high return income producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. S&P futures are lower this morning after coronavirus infections in the U.S. hit another daily record. California is reporting a new high in cases as Governor Gavin Newsom urges residents to wear face coverings.
We're seeing hospitalization rates grow. It's because people are not wearing their masks. People are not, for many different reasons and many different circumstances, practicing the physical distancing.
The governor of Illinois is also pushing for more masks. J.B. Pritzker says a national mandate could be the most important measure to save lives.
We instituted ours in Illinois on May 1st, one of the first in the nation, and it aligns with our most significant downward shifts in our infection rate.
Meantime, in Texas, we're seeing a second straight day of record deaths from the virus, and that has Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner pushing back against plans to reopen schools.
Do everything we can to get this virus under control today, and then we can see where we will be in August or September.
Well, still, the Trump administration is pushing for classes to restart nationwide. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos addressed the issue at a coronavirus task force briefing.
Ultimately, it's not a matter of if schools should reopen. It's simply a matter of how. They must fully open, and they must be fully operational.
The push sets up a fight between federal and local authorities, some of whom are planning only part-time in-person classes this fall.
Meantime, a top health official in Tulsa, Oklahoma, says President Trump's campaign rally in the city likely contributed to a spike in cases. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. John, good morning.
And Karen, the Tulsa Health Department says data and timing suggest a relationship between the increase in Tulsa County infections and the rally on June 20th. The president held the event despite pleas from local authorities to delay it. The county reported a jump in cases this week that eclipsed its one-week average. The president plans another rally this weekend in New Hampshire. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Coming up today, we get the latest reading on the economic fallout from the virus. Economists predict another 1.3 million Americans filed for unemployment last week. Look out for that data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
S&P futures down 1.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 52. NASDAQ futures up 48. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 13 cents at $40.77 a barrel. And COMEX gold little change at $18.20.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1329 against the dollar. And the yen 107.32. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr once again for a check of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says a decision on whether schools will reopen for in-person learning in September will be made by the state during the first week of August. Cuomo says the federal government has no authority on school reopenings. He made his comments in response to President Trump calling for schools to reopen and threatened to withhold funding if they don't. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says he anticipates a blended learning program for the city's 1.1 million students when the nation's largest public school system reopens.
Blended learning simply means at some points in the week, you're learning in person in the classroom. At other points in the week, you're learning remotely. And we all know remote learning is not perfect. But we've also seen a lot of kids benefit greatly from it during these last months. And we know we'll be able to do it even better in the months ahead.
De Blasio said masks and other PPE will be mandatory. Connecticut plans to reopen schools on time. Governor Ned Lamont, speaking to Bloomberg's David Westin, says while the state wants to reopen for business, out of an abundance of caution, they aren't opening bars yet.
We've got about 95% of our economy open right now. But when it came to bars and nightclubs and big entertainment venues, I listened to governors from Florida and Texas and the such saying they regret that they did open their bars when they did. And that was an opportunity for some super spreading to go on. We don't want that to happen. So in abundance of caution, we're not going to open them yet.
A Black Lives Matter mural will be painted today right in front of Trump Tower in Manhattan. President Trump tweeted earlier the mural would denigrate the luxury of Fifth Avenue. The Supreme Court is set to rule this morning on two big cases concerning President Trump's tax returns. Bloomberg's June Grasso has more.
The Supreme Court will issue the last opinions of the term today. Those include two of the most controversial cases of the term over subpoenas for President Trump's financial records from Congress and a New York prosecutor. Trump argues that lawmakers are trying to engage in law enforcement beyond Congress's constitutional powers and contends presidents should have absolute immunity from state criminal investigations while in office. Both cases could have profound long-term ramifications, potentially giving presidents sweeping new protections from investigations while in office. June Grasso, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashire.
All right, Nathan. The Ivy League, citing university restrictions on travel and visitors, has canceled all fall sports. They say it's about policies, not finances. Of course, the Ivy League doesn't have as much at stake financially as these major conferences who've got huge TV contracts that are used to support all the other sports on campus. But it was the Ivy that led the way back in March. It was the first conference to cancel its postseason basketball tournaments. At Stanford, the athletic department looking at a $25 million deficit for the fiscal year. So the school has eliminated 11 of its 36 teams, effective at the end of this upcoming academic year. The Baltimore Ravens figured out that if they do allow fans in, but with social distancing restrictions, they'd have about 14,000 in a 71,000-seat stadium. The Mets' J.D. Davis on what to expect without fans.
We got to find a way a little bit. It's going to be different. It's going to be, you know, obviously everybody's going to feel a little bit isolated, especially, you know, having our own teammates being in the stands, you know, 6 to 10 feet apart. But you know what? We love playing this game. We love enjoying, we enjoy being around each other. So I don't think it's going to be that much of a concern.
Well, no fans at Citi Field, but there will be cardboard cutouts with pictures of Mets season ticket holders. And the Jersey Devils season is over. When they return next season, their coach will be Lindy Ruff. He's been an NHL head coach for 20 years, currently an assistant with the Rangers. 40-year-old Jamal Crawford was unemployed with so many Brooklyn Nets not part of the NBA restart. The Nets have signed Crawford. This will be his ninth team. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. And coming up shortly, we get earnings from Walgreens. Let's get a preview now from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
The key questions for the drugstore chain will be the profitability of its U.S. business, the resilience of its international pharmacy segment, and the pace of recovery into 2021. Bloomberg Intelligence forecasts Walgreens' U.S. pharmacy sales will mimic those previously reported by CVS, with same-store sales up 17.5% in March, 1.5% in April, and a 1.1% decline in May. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Larry. 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Suppressing the Republican vote? I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Experts have been wondering whether Donald Trump is harming Republican turnout, and now Republican campaign operatives are worried too. It's pretty simple. Trump's unrelenting and unfounded assault on the integrity of voting by mail may frighten Republican voters who otherwise might use that method, perhaps enough for them to skip the election altogether. In reality, normal vote-by-mail favors neither party, nor is the possibility of anyone getting away with widespread fraud a serious concern. My guess is that Republicans won't lose a significant number of votes from Trump's scare stories, but I can't blame party professionals for being concerned. The sad part is how pointless all of this is. There's no reason to expect that Trump's opposition to vote by mail will help him or his party. Overall, Trump is making it a little bit harder for a lot of people to vote, scaring some of his own supporters, and possibly depressing Republican turnout. Oh, and he's weakening American democracy by undermining everyone's trust in the integrity of elections. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
Climate advocates have been calling for lower meat consumption for years. Now it appears the coronavirus pandemic will usher in the biggest global decline in meat eating in decades. Data from the United Nations indicate per capita consumption worldwide will fall to the lowest level in 9 years. The predicted 3% decline from last year would be the biggest annual drop since at least 2000. Forecasters don't expect U.S. consumption to return to pre-pandemic levels until after 2025. Meat consumption is on climate advocates' radar because, by some measures, agriculture accounts for more greenhouse gas emissions than transport, and livestock production is a big part of that. Meat and dairy alone are said to be responsible for as much as 18% of the global greenhouse gas emissions caused by humans. It remains to be seen, of course, whether consumers who get used to having less meat during the pandemic will make permanent changes in their diets. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Jeff, thanks. S&P futures down 3, Dow futures down 67 points, NASDAQ futures are up 37 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures fluctuating ahead of the U.S. jobs data that'll offer a key insight into the recovery of the world's biggest economy amid rising coronavirus infection rates. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 75, NASDAQ futures higher, up 36. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 12 cents at $40.78 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.20 at $18.16.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1326 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2640. And the yen, 107.38. And we are watching for that weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a grim milestone for the nation as the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases crossed 3 million. Now some states are warning their hospitals are under an unprecedented strain and could hit capacity. The Supreme Court is set to rule this morning on two big cases concerning President Trump. Trump has been trying to keep his tax returns and other financial information from being released to prosecutors in New York, as well as congressional investigators. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:48 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from the nation's capital. President Trump and Mexico's leaders seal an unlikely partnership during a White House visit. Joe Biden plans to lay out a moderate approach to the economy in a speech today. And Alexander Vindman, the Ukraine expert who testified in the House impeachment inquiry, is retiring from the military, citing a campaign of bullying spurred by the president. Also making news, the Supreme Court saves perhaps its most politically charged case of the term for last. For more, we bring in Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And Michael mentioned it, of course, Kate, the subpoena case involving President Trump's financial records. Clear political implications here, just 4 months away from the election.
That's right. And I think that, you know, there's really a pair of cases here, one that stems from a grand jury investigation in Manhattan and the other that stems from the congressional subpoenas that have been issued by four different congressional committees in the U.S. House. And so I think that really the key issue here is how the justices rule in these cases and, you know, what the implications of that are in terms of whether or not the public gets to see more of Trump's financial records, particularly his tax returns ahead of the election.
Well, the decision itself wouldn't decide that, whether we get to see the records, whether they get publicized?
In a technical sense, no. What it likely would decide is, again, in the case of the congressional subpoenas, whether Congress has access to those records. And then, but in all likelihood, you know, Democrats have talked about the need for those to become publicly available. So I think the time span between when they would get a hold of them and when the public would see them would be very short. In the grand jury case in Manhattan, a lot of it, that's a little bit more complicated because I think how it would work is that grand jury testimony and documents typically remain under seal unless or until there's some kind of an indictment. And so in that case, it might be a bit longer or not at all until the public would see the records.
What do you see the political impact of this decision being, no matter which way it turns out?
Well, I think that, you know, it's going to be the next step in sort of this battle between Congress, specifically congressional Democrats, and the White House over the scope of the president's power to keep his personal financial information secret, and not just this president, but any president. And so I think that this will be the type of case that no matter how it goes, you know, students in, you know, high schools across the country will be learning about for years to come.
And that decision we're expecting could come down as soon as 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We'll have the full details for you here on Bloomberg Radio. In the meantime, we're also watching for this important speech coming up later today from Democratic presumptive nominee Joe Biden. And it's on the one of the few issues that he's lagging the president on, reviving the economy.
Yeah, and I think that what we're seeing strategically here from Biden, we're expecting him to lay out in a more specific way than he has thus far some of his economic proposals, specifically his proposals for getting the U.S. economy back up and running in the post-coronavirus era. And I think we're expecting him to focus a lot on issues, on proposals that would spur manufacturing and innovation. And so I think that that is something to watch closely. But sort of the key takeaway here is that he, Biden, in terms of those proposals, is tacking a bit more to the center than some of his other challengers. He's incorporating some ideas from people like Elizabeth Warren, but not making those as focused on clean energy, for instance, as those on the left side of the party might have preferred. And so I think that'll be a dynamic to watch. He's obviously trying to appeal to Republican and independent voters, but the question is whether, you know, those on the left side of the party are left feeling kind of unenthused.
And you wonder whether he's also trying to appeal to sort of populist voters that went along with President Trump 4 years ago.
Absolutely. And I think that that is a demographic that he has the potential to do well with, given his background and his traditional appeal to blue collar voters. And I think that, you know, by focusing particularly on manufacturing, that is certainly making a pitch to those voters and trying to get them in his camp at a time when, you know, approval of Trump's handling of the economy is on a downward slope.
All right. Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. And you can read much more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And as always, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Just tune in to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 in the nation's capital. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
Hi, Karen. Well, today we're speaking with Amanda Freeman. She's a health and fitness guru with two small businesses, SLT Workout Studios and Stretched Wellness Center in New York City. Amanda, I understand you just opened your second Stretch location in March, just right before the pandemic hold. That must have been a short stint. Are the doors now open again?
Stretched was able to open in New York City on Monday and Stretched in Westchester. So we have a Stretched in Rye Ridge Shopping Center in Rye Brook. That was actually able to open last week. We do have a few locations that can't open for classes, but can open for one-on-one for some private training.
Now, do you find that your clients are willing to come back or have they expressed fears about possible safety concerns?
It definitely is a mixed bag. We have clients who were eager to come in even before, to be honest, it was legal. And we had to turn them away because we obviously wanted to comply with state regulations. And then you have clients who aren't planning to come back probably till 2021.
Well, given all that, what's in store for the future for your businesses?
I think the key to the future is getting through the next 6 months. And I say I have two trains of thought going. There's how to survive, and then there's how to thrive. There's making sure that your business survives. And the key to that is conserving your cash and spending money wisely. And then there's thriving. Everyone says when times are tough, that's when opportunity abounds. And so the key is also putting ourselves in the position to thrive after this. What are the new opportunities? And, you know, we're doing our best to keep track of expenses and maximize revenues. We've actually upgraded our equipment in a lot of the studios. So we've actually been able to sell old equipment to clients who are desperate to do the workout at home. And so that's actually been helpful just to generate some extra revenue to keep us going.
All right, Amanda, thanks. Amanda Freeman, owner of SLT and Stretched. Best of luck. And here on Bloomberg Radio, we're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time. I'm John Tucker, and that is your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for a student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Microsoft said it has new ways to make video conferencing more interactive and easier to figure out who's talking, or at least who's trying to. New features for the company's Teams software include one where participants are arranged side by side in white chairs seated in auditorium-style tiers. The company also developed a touchscreen display as a companion to a computer that can be used with Teams to access calendars, messages, and calls. Elon Musk predicts Tesla may crack the full autonomy puzzle this year. Musk told a conference in Shanghai that the electric car maker is close to developing the first 100% driverless car. The pandemic has both strengthened the case for robot drivers by making social distance essential and also shuttered labs and factories where the technology is being refined. And weather is becoming an important business in baseball. A company named Weather Applied Metrics is developing graphics to show weather's effect on the flight of balls for games at Wrigley Field in Chicago. The company says the technology will help the Cubs better position outfielders during home games. One of the biggest keys to Weather Applied Metrics modeling is computational fluid dynamics, which uses software to help analyze the flow of gas or liquids or how flowing gas or liquids affects objects. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. S&P futures are down 5 points this morning. Dow futures down 90. NASDAQ futures remain higher, up 28. And the 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.64%. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.